This is David Duke. This is David Duke live, worldwide, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of importance to Europeans and people of European descent wherever they may dwell upon the earth. We've had a little technical difficulty this evening, and that's primarily because the internet traffic is high right now, just as the phone traffic is high. Whenever there is something like a hurricane or a national disaster in any country, it tends to cause a clogging of the lines. People are interested. And I was noticing that our listening audience is a little down. It's now coming back up very quickly because of the fact this hurricane. People are watching the news, looking at the internet, trying to get the latest information about this catastrophe, which is once more enveloping my home state of Louisiana. And I'll be returning to it very soon. And by the way, I'll be in the United States for a while, and I'm looking forward to making some speaking engagements and appearances in a few different areas of the United States, and I would certainly be happy to meet you and shake your hand and talk with you personally about a lot of these issues that are so critical and so important to your future, my future, that of our families, that of our countries. And I say countries because I really believe that this fight is a worldwide problem. What's happening to the white people of the United States is not something that's isolated. What's happening here is also happening in Canada. It's happening in Australia, New Zealand. It's happening in Great Britain. It's happening in France. It's happening in Belgium. It's happening in the Scandinavian countries. It's happening in Germany. It's happening in Austria. It's happening in Spain and Italy. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a worldwide problem. And I tell you, the pernicious influence of Jewish supremacism, this extreme anti-European hatred, anti-Gentile hatred, and they do consider ourselves, they do consider us very much the real enemy. I think they consider us as much of an enemy as the Palestinians that they dispossessed, probably more so. And they realize that by controlling us, they can, in effect, control the Middle East, control the West Bank, do these settlements, exert their influence around the world, and they know this. In fact, Israel, of course, would not exist except for their undue influence upon the United States of America by the fact that they could get this country to give over one-third of our entire foreign aid budget for the world to go to Israel. But again, the double standards are being revealed. And I'm working very hard on revealing those to the people of the world. And this website, I think, is making a lot of steps forward in doing that. And by the way, I want to make a comment here. Anybody in this cause who stands up and does a good job is going to be the brunt of criticism, rumors, attacks, vicious allegations of one sort or another. It's so funny to hear people, supposedly people in the right wing, and of course the right wing, obviously, or the white movement, you might say, is obviously infiltrated by the enemy. we know that for a fact. It's not something that we can speculate on. But it's so funny to hear these people who have so much doubting of the federal government and everything. Suddenly, when it comes to David Duke, they believe in what the federal government says. They can't stand the lies of the SPLC or the ADL. But boy, when it comes to David Duke, they got to be telling the truth. Well, recently I've been noticing on the internet, and I'd really try not to spend very much time even looking at these emails. I've been noticing that there's huge infighting going on among the naysayers, among these people that sit in their underwear in some dark room before their computer screen, and half of their work seems to be attacking other people who are standing up for the rights and the heritage of the European and American people. This is constant. It never stops. Now, if you notice my work over the years, I have concentrated on the enemy. If you read DavidDuke.com, you don't read any attacks against any leaders, any individuals. We talk about the issues facing our people. We talk about ways to motivate our people. And we don't spread Jewish rumors and lies. And by the way, so many are unfounded. The other day there was a email. In fact, I got a very urgent email today from a man who used to work in my office, very good man. He's in Germany right now getting his knee repaired. His name's Roy Armstrong. And I also got an email from another lady that used to work with me, Monica. And they were frantic, and they got this post saying that James Kelso, who used to work in David Duke's office, was killed trying to escape from Hurricane Katrina, that he was carjacked by a number of blacks, and that he was murdered, and et cetera, et cetera. Well, this has been out about a week, and he's been in Florida visiting Don Black, and it's kind of funny. It's not really funny, but this has been out a week. They didn't know this. They just got this in the mail, and the way that it was written sounded like it was real. Sounded like it was a real news report. And they were so concerned. I talked to a good friend of mine, Davey, who's over in Hammond, who's been a great supporter and a great worker for our cause. And by the way, if you need gas, always go to Davey Quinn's Texaco in Hammond, if you're listening to from that area of Louisiana. And by the way, they're having a lot of storm wind right now down there. And he said that Monica was in tears. She thought that James had been murdered. You know, but that just goes to show you the absolute insanity of the things that goes on out there. And people make up anything. They make up the most outlandish things. They make up horrible allegations. I mean, I read on one website. I'm not going to mention names here because that's not my job, is to start attacking people. Even people basically attack me. But on one website, that we had an international conference here in New Orleans, and at the conference, I'm going to say this because it really is so funny. That Don Black, David Duke, and Kevin Strom had an orgy. I mean, my God, these people are really sick. Sounds like something that comes out of a Jewish pornographer's mouth, doesn't it? I mean, just absolutely unbelievable. You know, I've been accused of a lot of things, and I've been accused maybe of liking the ladies too much, but homosexuality, I even read one report, a pretty disgusting report. It's funny if you really think about it, but the problem is people don't know. And it was a report that sounded like they were very sympathetic to me. And they said, well, poor David Duke, he was in prison and they forced him to do homosexual acts. But he had to do it to survive. He had to do it. Right, ladies and gentlemen. And there's a film. The government's filmed this. And now they're blackmailing David Duke. Well, I guess I blew it all now by telling you about the blackmail. Ladies and gentlemen, it's so insane. It's so insane, the stuff that goes on. Yeah, they're blackmailing me. That's right. They're blackmailing me to go out all over the world to spread the truth about this war for Israel, to spread the truth about Jewish racism, to stand up to people like Rabbi Shmuley. You know, that's right, to inspire and teach and educate and motivate people all over the world. Yeah, that's what they're blackmailing me to do, right? Now, are they blackmailing me to get anybody in trouble? Do I ever advocate violence? That's what the agents do. They get in there and they try to advocate violence. You know, they try to tell you, okay, let me tell you something. You've got to, you know, if you want to fight these people, you've got to go out and commit a violent act. Then you're not, if you don't do that, you're not a man, or it's too late. We've got to get out in the streets. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the quickest way to destroy this movement. And I tell you that 99 out of 100 times when people in the movement have come forward and talked about, let's go do this violent thing or this illegal thing or get these illegal weapons or whatever, 99 times out of 100, these people are working for our enemies. Absolutely. And that's what people, if somebody is an agent, that's what people will do. Try to get people in trouble. Try to behead the movement. Get our leaders and get our people. Get some of our best people in prison where they really can't fight for our cause. Whereas if they're out and they're free, they can work day after day after day. And it's not hard to get people fired up and emotional and even willing to be violent necessarily. I mean, our forefathers fought with violence for our freedom. And there can come a time when people have to stand up physically to protect their homes and their families and win their freedom in their country. But ladies and gentlemen, with the structure of things in our society right now, that is the quickest way to destroy any movement. Especially with the 9/11 and the massive increase in the so-called Homeland Security. I mean, the FBI and all the government agencies now are literally spending 5-10 times what they spent before 2001 and the number of agents and the infiltrators and the money allocated for those things. And the ADL also, they know that we're getting stronger, that European-American political groups in Europe, United States, and elsewhere around the world are getting more and more adherence, more and more popularity among the populations, and they're really concerned. So you can sure that they're going to up their attacks. And what better way for them to do it than the Internet? You know, a lot of the Internet problems, as you know, a lot of the scams and everything that have worked in the Internet have come out of Israel. You don't think that they're planting false information among the Internet? And it's like a big rumor mill, you know. It's really a lot worse than the proverbial little old ladies at church telling the rumors about the new couples and so forth coming in. You know, people will just, they'll eat this stuff up. The most outlandish, weird, crazy smears. And you know, they just go from one to the other to the next, just vicious, horrible smears. Oh, yes, the federal government said this about David Duke. That shows you he's a bad guy. All right, SPLC said this. I mean, it's like in a National Enquirer scandal sheet. And, of course, anybody can say anything about anyone that wants to do that, wants to defoul somebody's character. It's so easy. I mean, if you're writing an article, first off, you can interview 20 people. And the people that you interview, you know, they may have said what you say they say, or they may not have, that you may be misquoting them, you may be taking it out of context, or perhaps that person that you're interviewing is a disreputable person. You know, there are many people out there, you know, that want to say, you know, terrible things about someone. I remember when I was running for governor, just a typical story. They had a National Enquirer piece about some lady, supposedly, some woman in Colorado, who supposedly met me in Colorado, and she was making these, you know, allegations that, well, David Duke was this and that, you know, or whatever. Just these outlandish allegations. And she was acting like she was intimate with me. And this report of this woman and all the allegations that she was making in Denver, Colorado, went to one of the books that they published against me by Tyler Bridges. I mean, it actually went into one of the reports. And he acted like this was saying, this person alleged so-and-so, and this is, you know, whatever. But what Mr. Bridges didn't say was that this person also claimed that aliens had abducted her, and that the CIA at one time had implanted transmitters into her brain. Now, this is the person that was saying these things about me. Now, I think, in fact, I met this person at one of the many meetings where I've met thousands of people and shaken hands. But that's enough for some idiot or some weirdo or some crazy then to make up a story, sell it to the National Enquirer or one of these other publications, and try to make some money, try to make some notoriety, but they don't tell you about the, you know, again, published letters of these individuals saying that they've been abducted by aliens and that the CIA has planted, you know, miniature transmitters in their brain and this kind of thing. I mean, they don't tell you that. And Mr. Bridges, when he wrote the story, which is typical of the kind of crap they write about me, He didn't mention the fact that this woman was, again, had these absolutely crazy, disreputable issues. There was no obvious, in any way, there wasn't any verification of anything she said. Now, some people might come up and say, well, okay, well, if she lied, why don't you sue her? Ladies and gentlemen, those who don't understand the legal system of America, you need to begin to understand it. It is not ours anymore. You're not going to get some great justice in the court. Sometimes it can happen in a very rare case. An innocent person, you know, in our cause may be found innocent. You know, but it's more often that a person's innocent in our cause, and I know many of them who've been found guilty. I also know of many people who are guilty on the other side that go free. O.J. Simpson's a perfect example of that, with overwhelming evidence against them. Michael Jackson is another perfect example of that. The court system is not ours. My attorney friend in Mississippi often tells me, he says, you know, I get letters every day, I get phone calls, and people say, man, if you just go to court on this issue of the Constitution, they're violating the Constitution, we can stop this immigration, or we can stop this other issue, or we can stop the Federal Reserve. All we have to do is go to court. Who do they think controls the courts in this country? Who do they think controls the media? Ladies and gentlemen, the only way you can judge someone is really by what they do. what they do, how they, you know, are they doing good work for the cause or are they not? That is the final drawing line here. And as far as I'm concerned, I've worked with literally dozens of people over the years. I mean, many, many people over the years. And I don't know of any that I've worked with closely that don't say, you know, that I've worked hard day and night, that I'm not a spendthrift, my God, that I'm very, you know, I save every dollar I can. I've never bought a new car in my life. But, I mean, I can go on and on. Yet they try to present me as some sort of jet setter. You know, I've never flown first class in my life. I have flown first class a couple times when the television show brought me out to do a program, you know, to help their ratings, you know, but I've never flown first class before in my life. I've never bought a new car in my life. I mean, it's, you know, and usually when I go to a restaurant, I don't get the dessert or something because it's too expensive. It's just the way I am. And that's one reason why I've been able to do such good work over the years on a very low budget. I'm not here to defend myself, and I'm not here to attack others, but what I'm talking about today for a few minutes is the fact that the internet is insane. It's great and it's great in some ways and it's bad in other ways, and I really believe that our enemies want to throw out so much garbage on the interstate, well, it's the interstate of information, on the internet. They want to throw so much garbage out on the internet that people will eventually say, well, you can't, that's on the internet, you can't believe it because it's on the internet. Especially if right-wingers are passing out all this stuff. I have been reading so much ludicrous stuff, it's just incredible, and it really discredits our cause. I've read somewhere in the cause about, and I've seen this article about 30 times emailed to me about how that government agents were arrested by police officers on the levees of New Orleans because they were blowing up the New Orleans levees, that federal agents were blowing the New Orleans levees up. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, we get some insane stuff, don't we, in the world? You know, but you see, the more stories that go out like that, the less believable it is for, like, for instance, the fact that we arrested 5 Mossad agents on top of an apartment building filming the attacks of 9/11. That early warnings, that warnings went out by email to Jewish firms in the World Trade Center. That 5 Jewish agents by DEA memorandum, by people working in federal government jobs, 5 Israeli agents, even named and with their address, lived on the same street as Muhammad Atta and shadowed him for weeks. And half of the hijackers were shadowed for weeks before the 9/11 attack. And we also know that Israel and these people had a tremendous ability to monitor telephones. That's right, monitor telephones and wiretapping abilities. They knew this thing was coming down. There's lots of evidence. But when you start talking about all this other weird ism out there, it lessens our ability to reach people because people think, well, these are just a great bunch of idiots. How can we believe anything they're going to say? And that's really the way it is. We've got to present ourselves in the right way. And one another thing that kind of gets me, and Don Black's endured criticism, Kevin Strom's endured criticism, for that matter, you know, Kevin and Strom and Eric Gleeby and Sean Walker, they all got in a big fight, and a lot of things were said about each other. But the National Alliance, I think, is doing some good work today. I like the National Vanguard, too. I think Kevin Strom's a great guy. You know, but I'm just saying, things get blown out of proportion. And, you know, they got all these other things that these same people, then there's other people sitting in some dark room somewhere who never get up and give a speech, never put their life really on the line to stand up. You know, what do I do? Is somebody in this kind of thing for money? Like me, to stand up where I would make myself a target, where I might get my legs blown off or become crippled or become blinded by these insane people around the world, these insane Jewish supremacists and just the black people that just simply hate me because of this image the media has created of me. You know, is this something somebody would do for money you might be insane. You'd be insane to do that. And let me tell you something. There's a lot of ways that people who are intelligent and have ability to make money. Hell, in politics, ladies and gentlemen, many, many people said that the way I presented things, that, you know, if I, you know, wouldn't have had the Klan background and if I wouldn't have talked, you know, so truthfully about everything, I would have been into the U.S. Senate or governorship. Maybe I could have been Bill Clinton. You know, maybe I could have, but I chose from an early age to tell the truth the best I knew how to do it. And since that time, it is a constant fight. An absolute constant fight. It's a fight to keep your head above water. And there's always allegations. Well, David Duke's wasting your money, or he's going to blow it at casinos. I haven't been in, you know, I've been in a casino before, ladies and gentlemen, like most Americans. Let me tell you something. I haven't been in one in 8 years, you know, and that was long before any investigation. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm standing up and fighting for this cause. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to stand up for this cause forthrightly. And these people that spread these poison pen letters, and it's not just about me, it's about everybody. And now it's kind of interesting because all these rats, you know, scurrying in the darkness, they're all fighting each other. Bob White's talking about Mr. Covington, and Mr. Covington's talking about Bob White, and Metzger, who will say bad things about me, he's talking about now Covington, and Covington's talking about, you know, Glebe, and you know, and it's just unbelievable. And I'm not saying all these people that are saying these things are bad, but what I'm trying to say is, what in the world are we doing? Why are we spending time on this garbage? Let's get things out there. And I think most of you listening to this broadcast, and once in a while you got to vent in these things, most of you listening to this broadcast have read my books. Did they inform you? Did they inspire you? Are they good tools for reaching people? Is this program not a great tool for reaching new people to our cause? And this program today, I guess, is more addressed to our own people than it is to the new person. And sometimes maybe that's necessary. Because there's so many, you know, our enemies. How do you attack someone who's doing a good job? How do you do that? What's the most effective way to do that? Well, they already attacked me, of course, to keep me from mainstream people by saying that I'm just a vicious anti-Semite, that I'm full of hate, you know, that I'm a racist son of a bitch, the whole smear, that I'm really actually a Nazi and a radical, and you know, you go on, you can just go on and on and on and on about their attacks. But those attacks, you see, those kind of attacks from the Jewish media, from the SPLC or the ADL, how much impact do they have on our own troops? Not very much. In fact, if you tell somebody who's supporting me in my list, or who's supporting National Vanguard, if you tell somebody supporting National Vanguard, and you say Kevin Strom is opposed to Israel and the Jews, and that he's an anti-Semite and he's a racist, you know, the average person supporting Kevin Strom would say, "Great, man!" You know, they'd say at least. You know, these guys are opposed to him. He's got to be doing a good job, you know, on these issues. Same thing's true about Sean Walker with the National Alliance. Same thing's true about anybody else in the cause. But if they really want to attack a Kevin Strom or a Sean Walker or a David Duke or a Don Black, what's the best way to do it? Well, make them out to be morally repugnant. Make them out to be homosexual, or make them out to be some sort of pervert, or whatever, you know? There's no evidence of any of this whatsoever, not even the slightest shred of evidence about that. You know, it doesn't make any difference. Make up allegations. Oh, there's videotapes. There's this, you know. Ladies and gentlemen, it's garbage. It's garbage. And that's how you do it. See, you're trying to weaken the support. Just like in a war, you know, you're fighting an enemy. You're fighting Saddam Hussein. So what do? You drop leaflets on people saying that Saddam Hussein really is a sellout, or, you know, he's really, he's hurting his own people, or he's doing this, he's doing that. That's what you try to do, you know. He's not sincere. He's violating the Arab cause. He's, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is true of every war, and we are truly in a war for our survival. And these are the kind of tactics that our enemies utilize against us. And this goes on again and again and again. And this is something that you, who are new to the cause, have been in the cause for a long time, have got to begin to understand. You know, when you get these emails in the mail saying these things, just, you know, tell them to go take a hike. You know, and use your common sense. And say, why are these people putting out these things? Why aren't they talking about what they want to talk about? What have these people who are doing these attacks, what have they accomplished? What have they done? I know Don Black personally. He works night and day to keep Stormfront going. You have no idea the difficulty in keeping a huge board like that going all the time. He gets DNS attacks all the time, many times from Jewish sources, even right straight from Israel. You know, of course, he gets the smears in the media. You know, he has cases where his servers are shut down or the IPs have been, you know, been forced to leave. I've been forced to leave. I had another IP shut down, you know, actually from the Canadian problems. You know, he finances a great deal of Stormfront from his own family. But there's just so much he can take, and there's so much he can do. He needs support to keep Stormfront going. And the same thing is true of DavidDuke.com and my work. You know, I do travel and speak. That takes some funds. I put out publications. We do this internet program. And they act, you know, what do they, you know, they say, oh, man, you should, you know, make Don Black and David Duke get a job. You don't think we have jobs? You don't think we work? If you take a look at DavidDuke.com, you take a look at Stormfront, and you look at the volume of work, writing, production, you know, people don't even realize this. I basically, you know, upgrade, and with some help from Dave Cooper and some other very good people, Dr. Jim and a few other people, I basically upgrade the site mostly myself. I write most of the articles. Thank God some people can help me a little bit with proofing and helping. You know, I write the entire, you know, David Duke report. I put it together. I lay it out. I prepare it for printing. I do the sorts for the mailings. I do all that. You know, plus making the business decisions and making arranging for the printers and arranging for the mailings and, you know, all the rest of it. You know, it's not an easy job. It's more than a full-time job. It's a crushing job in many ways. And on top of all that, you get your character attacked by our enemies out there viciously. And then you have some people who call themselves patriots who repeat these vicious Jewish attacks. There's no way, ladies and gentlemen, no way that anybody in this cause, no matter how pure they would be, and I'm not saying that I'm so pure, I'm not a perfect man by any means whatsoever, but no matter how pure you would be, the better your work, the more effective your work, the more sincere you are, the more dedicated you are, the more effective you are, the more you are going to be made into an absolute evil son of a gun. I mean, remember the great foe of Jewish supremacism and that what they considered to be a great threat to their faith, which was the oncoming of Jesus Christ. And here's a man, whatever one may try to say against him or about him, you know, he lived an admirable life. You know, from everything we know about him anyway. And he had no hatred or rancor in him. He had, he had a lot of strength and courage and he seemed to preach and teach the proper way to live a life and the proper way for people to behave among each other decently, especially people in their own families, their own communities, their own societies. And he's not quite the pacifist, I think, that some of the modern churches say. He did say, if you don't have a sword, if you have to sell your cloak, go and buy one. But he was a very, by any standards that you'd have to, by the things we know about him or the things we think about him, he was a good man. And yet, this man, this perfect man, really, was alleged to be a sorcerer by the Jewish supremacists. He was said to be a bastard, the son of a whore. I hate to use those words, but that's what they say. They say Mary was his mother was a prostitute. I mean, how vicious can you get? They even allege in the Talmud that Jesus had sexual intercourse with his donkey. That's right. They even allege that. And in the Talmud it says that Christ, this evil man, this sorcerer, this deceiver of the people, that he was conjured up by Jewish magicians and has been boiled in hot semen. Like a friend of mine, Bob Twain, said, that shows you the perversion of these people. I mean, how do they get, you know, a cauldron full of semen? What is their method for doing this? I mean, these are perverted, weird people. It takes a perverted person even to come up with a punishment like that. Absolutely perverted, crazy extremist to even come up with such a dire and horrible punishment. And that's about Jesus Christ. And you can talk about anyone. I remember the incredible attacks they've had about Lindbergh and that even recently. I know that the attacks they had against Joe McCarthy, of course, which were incredible. And anyone who stood up, you know, and again, everyone does have flaws. You know, but it's really sick that the right wing doesn't understand, you know, you've got to judge a man by his whole work, you know, and you can't believe everything Jewish supremacists say about somebody. and everything the government says or everything the Jewish organizations say. My God, isn't this the same government, isn't this the same Jewish organizations that we say lie, but somehow we're going to believe them about our leaders and just make up things out of whole cloth and distribute them? So it is a tough fight, and I hate to get on that subject, but again, I don't dwell on it. You haven't heard me talk about this, and again, I'm not making any personal attacks even here against these people. No, I'm concentrating on enemies, but this is enough of a problem that all of us need to understand what's happening here, the mechanism of what goes on. And if you were a Jewish supremacist and you knew that you didn't have the truth on your side, Rabbi Shmuley knows that. He said he'd like to debate me. Fine, let's debate. Anytime we can arrange it, we'll do it. I've debated him twice already on radio. I'll be happy to go at him again. But anytime that we deal with this, ladies and gentlemen, if you think about the enemies that we're fighting against and their double standards and the hypocrisies, don't you think that they would do what they could to put out this poison pen stuff? And by the way, how do they put out this poison pen stuff? From guys you never see. You don't see pictures of, you don't see films of, they don't go around and speak. They just sit in some dark room somewhere, and half their time, three quarters of their time, is attacking anybody in the movement that does something significant for this cause. Anybody that's halfway effective for this cause. And their whole purpose is to make people doubt. A little bit of doubt. Somebody can go into a car dealership and want to buy a Cadillac, and you could have a 10-cent little door latch not work, and that would be enough to block the sale. And the Jewish supremacists understand this. That if you heap enough, this is another famous person that wrote back in the 1930s about all this, if you heap enough garbage on someone, some of it's bound to stick. The people get a bad taste, a bad smell about someone, even though there may not be one bit of evidence, because they have so many people coming forward and saying, this is bad about him. The ADL has all these quotes on the ADL website. Now we're talking more about our specific enemies again, and I like to do that more than talk about individuals who call themselves in our movement, but I don't think they are. The ADL, what they do is they've scanned tens of thousands, and I'm not joking about this. I've been active for over 30 years. I've been active so much that there have been thousands and thousands of articles written about me by different reporters, Jewish reporters, liberal reporters, and a few right-wingers and conservatives and a few others, and other people just get things wrong and get misquotes. So what they do is they go through all these thousands of articles, and they find something that makes me sound bad. Like they'll have me using the N-word, even though I might have said Negro, you see? But, it's a misquote. Or they might have another quote totally taken out of context and totally wrong. And so here I go on a radio program. Here's how these people work. You go on a radio program, and they say, well, this report from the Wichita Times back in 1972 said that you said that when a buck or something, when the N-word does something, and I say, well, I didn't say that, and there's no tape of that, there's no tape of me using that kind of language. And yet there's been thousands of speeches I've made, and almost all of them were taped or filmed or in some capacity. So, why don't they produce, when they make, and they allege me to make these statements, why don't they come up with the actual audio tapes of this, of these things? And then they say, okay, well, how about that? But then somebody else says so and so, and this other person, Davidson, says so and so, and this other person, Dr. Wittemeyer, says such and such. And so you deny, you deny, you deny. And then finally they say, oh, all these people are lying about you. All these newspaper reports are just nothing but lies, right? You never said that. Oh, again, you didn't say that. That's how they work. And let me tell you again, ladies and gentlemen, the power of the written word or the spoken word is incredible. You can do with an article, you can make anyone, you can make a saint into an absolute evil person, you can make the most evil person into an absolute saint. This guy, Seaman Wiesenthal, has been made into a saint. I think he's probably going to get a state funeral in Austria. But this man, I don't think, was a saint. And a lot of parts of his story don't really add up, ladies and gentlemen. They don't really add up. He survived five supposed death camps in the Second World War. I mean, here's a man, by his own testimony, You know, he was escaped, recaptured. He wasn't just killed then by the Nazis. In fact, later he tried to commit suicide. And guess what the National Socialists, guess what these nasty old Nazis who were trying to kill all the Jews did? Well, they nursed him back to health, ladies and gentlemen, nursed him back to health. He made up many lies. He made up the lies, for instance, about the soap made out of Jewish bodies. And yet this was an absolute falsity. It was an absolute blatant lie, ladies and gentlemen. An absolute blatant lie. They even misconstrued the soap. They said that, you know, R.I.J. Was on the stamped in the soap, means for like prime Jewish fat in German, but it was actually R.I.F., which had nothing to do with Jews. I mean, and there's been actually physical chemical analysis done on a lot of the soap, and the soap story now is totally denied, even by Vadyashim. And a lot of the other Jewish scholars, because it's been so thoroughly discredited, they have to say, well, that's a story. That's not true. Well, he was a purveyor of this. He was hunting down people around the world who had the flimsiest evidence. 40 years after the fact, were being accused of so-called war crimes on the flimsiest evidence, on very poor memories, very sketchy information, and destroying their lives. Destroying absolutely their lives. You can't get justice that long after, not especially during time of war. Look at the case of Mr. Demoniak, the auto worker in the United States. Great man, great family, and even the Supreme Court had to admit, you know, it was mistaken identity. This guy was basically persecuted all of his life, you know, by these Jewish so-called Nazi hunters. What they were doing is it wasn't just to persecute these people. It wasn't their sense of revenge, and they have the greatest sense of revenge of any extremist that's ever walked the face of the earth. But it was really a matter of just getting the information up and to try to have more publicity for Israel. That's what all this recounting all the Nazi atrocities all the time is. It's good publicity for Israel. Oh, the poor Jews, we've got to support Israel. The Jews have to have a safe home because there's people trying to kill them all over the world. That was the whole idea, I believe, behind the whole Eichmann kidnapping and everything from Argentina and the big show trial in Israel. He put him in a glass box. You know, he couldn't even, you know, he could, if he tried to speak out and tell any sort of the truth about what happened, they just cut off his mic. He'd be speaking, he'd be muted. That's pretty convenient, isn't it? You know, but that's the way it works, ladies and gentlemen. And that's the nature of our enemies. And people have got to begin to get an idea of how our enemy works, what they do, how they behave. And if they don't have that idea, they're never going to be able to fight because they're going to, these Jewish reports. And then let me just say one more thing. These kinds of infighting and attacks and slanderous things, and which is flying all over the movement, you know, all the time, especially on the internet, they have a tendency to make people involved very despairing and often want to leave the movement. You know, the only times I think that I've ever had the strongest feeling about leaving the cause was putting up with some of these vicious attacks from people. And the fact that some people might believe these attacks and not even know me or not even ask me about them or talk to me about them, but just simply believe it. And that's the only time. But let me tell you something. I thought about this again and again, and I have to understand, and you have to understand, this is part of the nature of the fight that we're in. Our enemies are going to do this. And they're going to, the weaker minded of our people, they're going to try to drive off from us and dry up the support of the leaders who are doing the most and are working the hardest. Don Black needs your support right now. Kevin Strom, you know, all the good people out there. I need your support. Yeah. I think Sean Walker has been doing a good job. And I think all these groups, I hope, will proliferate. And you know, and I think the people with the best publications and the best arguments and the best approach, you know, I think that they will succeed and they'll grow the fastest. That's how you prove your abilities and your talents, is by what you're able to do, what you're able to produce. Not by what you say you can do, but what you actually do. You know, and again, I feel my record is good. I mean, I ran for for office in Louisiana. I got elected. I actually was successful. I got elected to public office in Louisiana twice in two separate elections and came awfully damn close to the United States Senate. I guess the most important exclusive club in the world. And boy, that would have started a revolution in this country. I think if that would have happened. And we came close to doing it. And nobody was ever opposed by more of the Jewish power in a more vicious way than I was. In fact, in some ways, my candidacy for president after the last race for governor propelled Buchanan. Because the one thing that the Jewish supremacists didn't want was me to do well in these primaries. And because they knew how strong I stood up. Buchanan's a good guy, but I was the only one standing up openly for European Americans. I was the only guy really standing up openly against Jewish supremacism. And, you know, that's just the fact of the matter. And they could not afford that person doing too well. So they saw in the beginning that Buchanan was an opportunity to lessen my impact. So at first the media gave him there the intention, for instance, in New Hampshire was the first primary. And then so once he got momentum and people said, well, now Buchanan has the chance. Buchanan got the position. So we have to support Buchanan, not Duke, even though I still got good votes in many states. We got to support Buchanan because he has a chance. And then once basically I was out of the race for president, and then the support for, you know, and then the attacks against Buchanan became shrill by the media. Then, of course, they turned on the jets of attacks and viciousness and libel and the rest of it. And then in the end, Buchanan truly betrayed our movement and the selection of a vice presidential candidate. We have such a fantastic opportunity in the Reform Party in that year. It was an unbelievable opportunity for our cause. It could have been the real beginning of a breakthrough for third party movement. And in one fell swoop, the selection of this absolutely mediocre, incompetent black school teacher to become his vice presidential candidate. I mean, even George Bush would not and could not be that stupid. Or even are any of the liberals. John Kerry couldn't have been that stupid. He undermined his basic support. And people said, why in the hell should I vote for that? I'm just telling you some of my take on some of these things. Now, at the same time, even though Buchanan did all those things, I still saw him as the better guy in the race, and I supported Buchanan. I've said many positive things about Buchanan since. You know, I don't spend much time attacking, you know, Mr. Patrick Buchanan by any means. I certainly don't make any personal or moral attacks on him, even though I have my questions. He works for the big networks, and he knows certain things he can say and certain things he can't say, and they allow him to be there. And I believe if Buchanan began to speak more like I speak, I don't think he would be there. You know, you have to judge that for yourself. But I'm not over there talking and attacking him day after day and week after week and making up rumors or what the most horrible sort of vicious rumors about Patrick Buchanan. In fact, when he says good things, I run his articles on my website, even though Patrick Buchanan said some bad things about me. Oh, he buried me in the bayou and all that other kind of garbage, you know. And even after he did that, ladies and gentlemen, my people, under my direction, Louisiana helped him win the nomination for the Republican Party for president here in my own state. And you know why I did that, ladies and gentlemen? Even though I had a personal animosity, I've known Patrick Buchanan for a long time. I've been on the Crossfire program with him a number of times. We've talked privately many times. We met in Baton Rouge when he was running. But even though I had a personal animosity for some of the things he said against me, the kind of coddling up to the Jewish supremacists, I thought by supporting him, I was doing the best thing for the cause. Because I thought, even if he wasn't perfectly against the Jewish supremacists, like I would like him to be, at least in the media, he was presented as a person who had that opinion. So it would help our position if he were elected or did well. Because it would help people start to question those issues. Because it's kind of like me, too. I mean, the media accused me of a lot of things. And the point is that the better I did, the better it would be for those individuals who stood up, you know, on the race issue and the Jewish question. Well, that's about it. I've really gone over time tonight. Didn't plan to be this long, and I talked about a lot of rambling subjects. I don't want to get in this subject again. And I have, as you noticed, I made no personal attacks on anybody. But we've got to be wary about the internet rumors, about the lies. And I urge you to give some real support to the people in the movement who are doing the most. Absolutely. If you like what I'm doing, support it. If you like what Don Black's doing, for gosh sakes, support it. If you like what Kevin Strom's doing, support him. If you like what Sean Walker's doing, support. Judge your support on what people are doing for the cause. How effective are they reaching new people to our cause? Are they conducting themselves in a respectable manner? Are they conducting themselves in a manner that don't fulfill Hollywood stereotypes? And I think that's another issue. You know, the Jews for a long time have tried to make us appear like cartoon characters. You know, like some sort of goose-stepping Nazis that right out of the pages of the Third Reich instead of real living Americans who are patriots in our own country. You know, they've tried to make us with all the kinds of images that they want to create of that they've spent 40 years trying to create. You know, the monocle, the hate, talking about killing Jewish people, talking about, you know, final solutions on the race issue. This is the kind of image they want to present to the American people. And any time we talk like that, regardless of the symbols we use, anytime we talk like that, we fulfill the stereotypes of our enemies. We've got to watch our language. We've got to conduct ourselves in a positive way that way. And we've got to do things, effective things, to reach people. You know, that's right. You know, I'm being blackmailed, right, to tell young people to stay in school and study and become very successful and fight for this cause with all of your might and all of your life. Dedicate your life to this cause. Yeah, I'm being blackmailed. Yeah, I'm telling people that this Iraq war is a war for Israel and spread this word all over the world. Yes, to go to Eastern Europe and help many, many elected officials become elected with the expertise that I've learned in campaigns here in Louisiana. I spend my time doing that and teaching so many students, for instance, at my university in Kyiv, about the truth of Jewish supremacism and the truth about how European people must defend their heritage and their culture. And going to Sweden and speaking and going to Spain and speaking and going across the United States. Yeah, right. You know, and telling people to don't ever attack anybody in the movement. Go forward, do positive things, organize, get active for our cause. People have been asking me, what do you want me to do? What should we do? Tell me, give us some leadership. And like I said, you know, couple days ago, I said, look, get out there and do something. If you're in a town and you believe in this cause, it doesn't take much. This is very simplest. You know, clubs and groups are started every day. Start a group, start a club in your community. Bring your friends together once a week or twice a month or once a month and have a little get together, have a little party, have a function. You know, spread the word, share information, have some audio visual. You know, and just grow from there. Come together as a community, work together, support each other, do business with each other. Everyone can do that. Everyone can go out when you can get business cards made up with a telephone number. In fact, our website, davidduke.com, and when you get gas, give that card out. You know, when you go get your gas turned on at the power company, you know, give the card out, electric turned on or phone turned on. You know, when your newspaper boy comes by, talk to him for a moment. Give him a copy of the David Duke Report. Give him a copy. You know, give them the address for stormfront.org. You know, that's what you've got to do, ladies and gentlemen, and talk, argue, learn. And more importantly than that, educate yourself. Don't do something stupid, illegal, that puts you in jail. And that also in turn deprives the movement of money. Now, I'm not talking about people like Ernst Zundel, because all he did was just speak openly for what he believes to be the truth in terms of our cause. You know, and those are the kind of people that we need to support who are in jail more than anybody else. You know, the people who are in prison for basically standing up and speaking, or because the government targets people, because they're effective. Ernst Zundel was effective. Ernst Zundel and his wonderful wife, Ingrid Rimland, are effective. They've helped educate people about the cause. And he's a symbol. And that's why he went to prison. And there's been many other people like that who've gone to prison. But if you just go out and do a drunken act against some minority, all you're doing is you're not only are you not doing the cause any good and destroying your ability to help the cause, you are hurting the cause. You are absolutely hurting it. So they can say anything they want to say about us, but when they are able to publicize how one of us did something horrible or indecent or murderous to a minority, what happens, ladies and gentlemen? That makes people say, yeah, you see how these people are? I don't want to associate with that kind of a person. You know, these people are evil. You know, these people that represent these ideas are evil. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, and that's the fact that someone can come to that conclusion isn't necessarily a logical response to that kind of act, I must say. Because you have radical elements in almost every revolutionary movement. That's just the way it works. You know, a lot of the people that's substantial and stable don't get involved in revolutionary movements because they have so much to lose. Now, a lot of times you have a lot of losers that get involved. Let's just be frank about it. And so the fact that someone, an individual, would do something wrong or evil doesn't necessarily say that everybody in the movement or everybody with that same idea is necessarily evil. Obviously, it doesn't. But that's the way a lot of people interpret that emotionally. Well, ladies and gentlemen, my time is up, and I'm going to be with you again on Sunday. It's been good to be with you this Friday. Our show went a little longer. I'm going to try and get this archived very soon, and I hope to have another guest. I was hoping to get another guest today that I was hoping we could have, but he couldn't do it right now. He's a little under the weather. But I will be on Sunday for our major show. I want to again wish the very best to all my good friends in Louisiana who are undergoing a terrible time. People in New Orleans now are reflooding. Some of the water is going over the levees. The people in Mandeville, Louisiana, where I live and my personal belongings are, we're going through a lot of tornadoes and a bad wind at this time. My very good friend, and I'll just identify her by saying M, a fine school teacher with many beautiful animals. She's an animal lover. She's at home, only about 30 miles from the coast. I was hoping that she would evacuate. She didn't. She's been a great help. She would come 300-400 miles in a weekend to come help us in the office. And she was one of the main people that supported us during the time for the conference, international conference. Not a penny, but came over to work and support. And by the way, she can tell you the kind of work we do around there and the kind of lifestyle that we have around the office. But James Kelso can talk about it. James doesn't work specifically in my office anymore, but he works with us on the internet. And he lives in one of our facilities. Basically, he sleeps on the floor. He's kind of like a monk, you know. He's not in the nexus of the office, but he's really working hard with the internet. He's working hard with Don, and he's working hard with DavidDuke.com. And he can tell you. And you can have a long conversation with James, and he can tell you the kind of lifestyle that he has, that I have, that the other people who work around our office have, the kind of hours we spend, the kind of work we do, how we live, you know, with the kind of clothes we buy, like Walmart, and I hate to say it, or some small little shop, you know, the kind of car we drive, where we go out to eat, and how we're looking for the places with the specials because there's not that much money in the kitty. I mean, many people, Emmanuel, who is Belgian, who came over from Belgium and spent about a month and a half or so in my office, lived in my home, worked with us. He can tell you how we live. Talk to him if you have any questions about how I live or how the people in our office function. And I can go on and I can tell you about a number of other people. You know, who lived and worked with us in the office, who have no cross to bear. They didn't even get a penny, you know, of compensation for coming in and helping us. But they know how we do and what we do and how hard we work and what we're accomplishing. You have to understand that people in this cause that work hard and work effectively are going to undergo attacks. That's the nature of the beast. It's not just me. It's anybody out there who's going to be effective. Our enemies are the masters of the lie and the masters of libel, the masters of invective. And if you try to sue them, your public figure, you have no chance in court because the laws are such that public figure, it makes it almost impossible to prove. And if, in fact, you sue them like a Jewish organization and they'll spend $1 million on lawyers, you'll be liable for $1 million and you'll be totally bankrupt and totally destroyed. Your whole operation will be wiped out. That's how it works, ladies and gentlemen. And that's the way it is. That's the way it is this Friday, and that's the 23rd of September, 2005. Good luck to everybody in my home state of Louisiana, also my friends in near the Texas line there, and special good luck to Melanie. Stay safe, and I hope that all of your cats and your dog survives this storm healthy and happy. Everybody out there across the world listening to this program, thank you so much for being with me, and I'll be with you on Sunday, and I'm sorry I didn't get any of the Stormfront posts or emails in this particular show, but I will definitely spend a lot of time doing that on Sunday with probably an expanded program. Thanks again. Love y'all. See you later. Bye-bye.
This has been David Duke for our heritage and our freedom.